This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-30 all-wheel drive, only $179 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SM808128. MSRP 27105. Ends 3/31/25.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Seeking approval for the hotel tax.
Yeah.
That was something that we've talked about in previous years. There was a good bit of pushback. Could you just tell me a little bit about what the atmosphere is like that surrounding that now and how you plan to go about it?
Yeah, we've had conversations with our local delegation, Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, who's carrying the legislation for us. I had conversations with both Senators Ryan and Baskin about this as well. We've talked to hotel owners, people like that, who would be impacted by it. The conversations we've had with hotel owners have been positive. You know, I think one of the problems is last year was a 5%. We've dropped it to 3%. So I think that's a little more palatable for people. But, you know, the goal is that, you know, we have visitors coming here and they should help us pay for the services that they use. And so hopefully through with the leadership of Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, the rest of the delegation will follow suit and pass the legislation.
So obviously crime and public safety is a big concern among residents. I know you mentioned, you know, community policing, the Office of Gun Violence Prevention. Can you talk a little bit about why you decided to, you know, initiate those things?
Yeah, so we have a new police commissioner, a fantastic commissioner who's been part of the department for 37 years. He's very like-minded to me when it comes to policing. We want our officers out visible in the community, interacting with our residents, with our business owners, and making sure that they feel safe first and foremost, but also that they build up a relationship with each other. You know, I keep saying this, when someone calls 911, someone's not having their best day, right? So if we're able to build relationships up on the front end, hopefully it can eliminate and alleviate some of the issues we've seen in the past on the back end of situations. And so, you know, provides those relationships, but also the feeling of security for people who want to be out in their community, walk into the store, things like that. With the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, you know, we've put together a position for a director of that, working closely with Councilmember Everhart, who's been fantastic to work with on it. She's been a champion for this stuff, and looking forward to fill that position, continuing to work with both of those, the police department, that office, together collectively.
In the same vein about the Office of Gun Prevention, you mentioned of your three new offices, no extra cost to the city. So
correct.
Where is that funding coming from?
So we've just moved positions around. You know, we've taken our chief innovation officer, made him the head of the Innovation Office of Innovation, and working with department heads. Each department has identified someone as their innovation lead to kind of break down the processes, eliminate the silos that operate in government, existing government too often. So again, that's just one example of how we've done with the three departments, moving people around.
Another thing we heard you talk about regarding the budget was this parking initiative.
Yep.
Could you sort of explain why that's necessary and how exactly it's going to help the budget?
Yeah, so the city of Buffalo owns four parking ramps operated by BCAR. I don't think we should be in the parking business. I'd like to sell those ramps to an authority who can maintain them, take on the cost of maintaining them. We do extract some revenue from them, but these ramps need a tremendous amount of work over the course of the next few years. And those are repairs that taxpayers would have to shoulder. The authority can bond out to do this work, and then we wouldn't have to do that, take that money on and use it as a cushion as we rectify our budget over the course of the next couple of years.
And then we heard you talk about this parking initiative. We heard you talk about the hotel tax.
Yep.
Another thing that's been talked about is a property tax on city residents.
Yeah.
Is there anything you could share with us on that and what that could look like?
No, you know, we're finalizing things with budget. We're going to start having additional conversations with council members early next week on things. We're hoping that legislation, both the parking authority and the hotel tax, is included in the state budget in the next 10 days or so. We've had great conversations with people in Albany, with some of the governor's people, our state delegation. So we're hoping that's included in the state budget, which would obviously be a huge help to our budget locally here. So it's tough to finalize what that might be, not knowing what's in that state budget, once we do have a closer idea and be able to communicate that.
Speaking of the budget, yep. Tonight wasn't about figures, but where do things stand with what you presented tonight moving forward? We hear about this gap of city money. What is the direction of city finances?
Yeah, you know, we're in a precarious position, obviously. And I haven't shied away from this. I've said this publicly a number of times. We have a gap of tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, that depends what that number ends up being leading into the year depends on things like what legislation winds up in the state budget, what we can cut out of our departments without impacting services, things like that. So we're getting close to finalizing everything, but it's tens of millions of dollars, but we'll get through it. You know, working together, that's my goal here as mayor, is to create partners and collaborate, and we'll continue to do that to make sure we get through it. There's tough decisions to be made, but we'll make them together, and we'll get through the budget process.
Mayor Scanlon, you mentioned small businesses being the heart of the downtown neighborhood. How do you plan to improve business and increase traffic into a community that seems to be hollowing out?
Yeah, so, you know, I say this a lot, and people might get sick of hearing about the partnerships that we have to establish, but we have to. And working with some of our larger employers down there, you know, we've met with some recently. We've taken the lead here at City Hall, making sure people are back working, contributing to the vibrancy of downtown. We want some of our larger employers to do the same. I was thrilled last week meeting with one of the largest employers in the region, letting us know that almost all their employees are back downtown. So we're hoping others follow suit. But we've also got to create destinations in downtown, give people a reason to come back to work and want to be here at 4 or 5 o'clock, make sure things are going on, some exciting things are taking place. And then we've got to work to convert some of the office space that's empty right now and make sure we have a livable community here downtown as well. And we'll get there.
Are you concerned with the potential loss of federal funding with the way things are going in Washington?
Yeah, you know, every day is tricky. You know, you'd hear a different story coming out of D.C. and what it might do to different levels of government. We're the lowest rung on that ladder, right? Federal, state, county, municipal. So it would impact us a great deal. And ultimately it impacts our end users, who are some of the most vulnerable people in our community. So those are great concerns, but we'll continue to talk to our delegation, the congressmen, the senators as well, and we have a great relationship with them to see what we can do to combat any of those decisions that are being made in D.C. that would impact any of the organizations that do fantastic work here, or our bottom line as well, over some of the services that we provide.
You highlighted a lot of public works projects in tonight's speech.
Yeah.
It's cliche, but it's hard to separate Buffalo from snow.
Yeah.
With the uncertainty of weather, with the recency of blizzards, how do you move forward making sure the city is in a position to handle things like that?
So a couple of things, right? We announced tonight the Office of Emergency Management and Resiliency, which will look at these types of things, you know, unpredictable weather, climate change, how we address these things moving forward, our climate action plan, implementing that. But also, and I've said it now probably 4 or 5 times since walking in here, it's partnerships. It's communicating with our other levels of government. We had some harsh weather this year. You know, brutal snowstorms, cold temperatures, and we were able to communicate with our partners at the county and the state level. And to me, I think our service was better than it's been in a while because of that. You know, we've been able to use some of their resources to come in and use them in the city of Buffalo, and we'll continue to do that.
Also quickly, just for clarification, that Office of Emergency
Management.
Management, is that a different position than Mr. Luby?
He'll be the head of it.
Yeah.
And you said at the start of your speech, you know, people want to know what the state of the city is. For any residents out there tonight who might still be skeptical about how Buffalo is growing, what message do you want to leave them with?
I think the state of the city is what we make of it, right, collectively. And I talk about partnerships, I talk about collaboration, and I think that if we're on the same page, city, county, state, nonprofit, private, residents, and we're pulling in the same direction, the city, the state of the city is only going to continue to get stronger. It is strong, we've got some challenges, we're using them as opportunities, but together we'll get over those hurdles and the state of the city of Buffalo will be strong for years to come.
All right. Thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.